All right, welcome back. Don't forget about Ukraine. The genocide of Christian Ukrainians is continuing nonstop. Some of you might say, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? Ukraine is now basically owned and operated, controlled by Zionist Jews, most notably Zelensky, who has no problem kidnapping people off the streets, bringing them back from foreign countries, Ukrainians, and sending them to the front to die. They have a life expectancy of several hours at best. And they're all Christians, men and women. 14 million Ukrainians have fled the country. 2 million, 99.999% Christian, have died in the war against Russia. Zelensky's smiling. He's happy. The Khazarian Empire, the Khazars, or Khazars, however you want to say it, apparently were pretty much headquartered in the territory of Ukraine back in the 600s and 700s. And that's interesting in and of itself. That particular area has the best topsoil. It's said to be 6 feet deep or more in all of Europe. It was known as the breadbasket of Russia in the 1800s. When all the crops were grown there and shipped throughout Russia. It's quite a story. But again, the war on Christian whites is not slowing down. It's now, as many of you know, picking up steam in the U.S., wherever you live. Many of you are not Christian whites. And I'm glad you're here. It's just an issue. If it were Hindus or Muslims, I'd be reporting it the same way. The war on whites is pronounced. It's a Jewish agenda item, and Zelensky is following that agenda. Make no mistake about it. Throwing people into combat like that with no training. Some of the commanders recently said that the new men and women they get, and they're sending women to die just the same as men, or have no training. They don't know how to operate their own small arms, rifles, whatever. It's sickening. But you see what's happening, and most of our listeners do, and you new people will get it if you stay around and listen. It's really evil. It's beyond any imagination of evil. It's that bad. Father Paul Kramer is with us a couple times a month, as his schedule allows. He is in Ireland. Welcome back, Father Kramer. Thanks for being here.
It's good to be back again, and I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said. and the war, not just against whites, but it seems like the war against the human race that's ongoing now in the United States, they've deflected attention away from what's happening in the general population by focusing on the immigration issue only.
Yes. And yes. Yes.
So you have this anomalous situation that has developed where you have, it reminds me of the Soviet Union in one respect. I remember there was a doctor from Ukraine, and he said, under communism, they gave people what they wanted. Now, that sounds strange, but what he said was very instructive. He said, if you had neighbors that you didn't like, you denounce them to the authorities, and your neighbors will get into trouble. They'll get arrested, so they end up in the gulag or something like that.
Yeah.
So in that sense, they gave people what they want. You want to complain against someone, you want to make trouble for someone, you can do it, because the government is going to facilitate that perfectly. That's just the nature of communist government. They don't want people to live together peacefully. They want everyone at each other's throats.
Evil, 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 just horrible. I just got a map of the. Oh, finish, please. Go ahead. Go.
So now you have people who are closing their eyes to what this anti-immigration policy is really about, and it's about abolishing all constitutional rights. It is about ethnic cleansing. It's not just about going after people who are not U.S. citizens and who are illegally in the United States. Trump has made it very clear that he considers those people to be genetically inferior. Those are his own words. And so you have people who are, this is a genocidal policy, and people are cheering him on, and they're wearing their MAGA hats, and they're cheering him on, and they don't realize that this is a war that's being waged against themselves also on another front.
No, they don't figure it out at all.
It's communism. So they don't understand this is communism. Communism is something created by the corporate elite. It always has been. The financial system, the bankers and the great corporations, the multinational corporations are now the ones who are entirely behind, just like the ones who financed the communist movement back in the early 20th century. Now they are the ones who are setting up the New World Order, which is we're going to be with the great restart of the World Economic Forum,
yeah,
where you will own nothing. You will own nothing, but supposedly you'll be happy. Now, how are you going to be happy? This is the idea. Now the corporations are cutting down the employment. They're cutting their workforces. Replace them with robots. So it's AI. It's going to be AI and robotics that's replacing the human workforce.
That's right.
So all these people who had jobs, who were supporting their families, paying the property taxes, paying the rent, utilities, and that, they're not going to have their job anymore. And not only that, it's a two-pronged attack. They're getting hit from both sides. Not only are their jobs being taken away, but then any state security, safety net, any kind of a social welfare safety net is also being removed. Any kind of state assistance for medical care, for welfare payment for those people, or people only get for a very brief time unemployment benefits, and when all the jobs are disappearing, uh-huh, that's not going to be much of a help. So, uh-huh, I'm not advocating any kind of a system here, a welfare state or anything. But what I'm saying is, when you have a system that's in place that systematically is designed to take people, to strip people of their employment, and to strip them of any social assistance from the state, what you're creating is a huge mass of homeless people. They're all going to be out of their homes. You have private equity firms who are buying up all the property. So people will not be able to own their own homes anymore. They're being kicked out of their homes. They're losing their jobs. And there is no recourse to the state for assistance when in their moment of need. And what does the government do after that? What are the states doing? They are criminalizing homelessness. So if you pitch a tent somewhere, you get thrown out of your house, you pitch a tent somewhere, you're a criminal.
Yeah.
You'll be arrested and you'll be convicted. And then they're going to put you in a prison that's run by a private prison management firm.
Yes, sir.
That's the New World Order. It's turning the United States into a great coast-to-coast prison.
It is.
A gulag.
Palantir is gathering all the data on every living thing with two legs in this so-called country. And you'll see, the next president will probably be Vance, the Palantir presidency. It's all underwriting and underscoring the digital control of everything. Everything. From people to money. To name it, doesn't matter. I have a map, it's going up tonight, and the title of the story is See What the COVID bioweapon did. Every country's fertility rate is mapped as birth declined nearly worldwide. The only area births haven't declined terribly is essentially Africa and the Middle East. And I'm talking about Saudi Arabia. Here's the long and short of it. When you see this map, it's very instructive. Moderate birth rate is between 2 and 3 children per couple. To maintain a population, the replacement birth rate has to be 2.1 children per family. Figure two children per family. And then it drops from there. 2 children, 1.5 children, 1 and 0. And if you're down to 1 or 1.5 or 2, you are no longer sustaining your population. You are in decline. 2.1 replacement rate. Here are some of the birth rates among the key players. All right? Now remember, anything below 2.1, you're losing population. In Europe, it is uniformly in the ones. France, 1.6. Spain, 1.2. UK, 1.5. Ireland, 1.6. Poland, 1.3. Romania, 1.7. Italy, 1.2. They're all in decline. They're all losing population. White European population, not talking about the invader population, they come from countries that have 2.3 in Libya, 2.7 Algeria, 2.7 Egypt, Iraq 3.2, you get the story. Kazakhstan 3.0. Now, let me shift. And repeating, the replacement rate to sustain a population is 2.1 children per household. Russia 1.5. It's losing population. China, 1.0, almost below 1 point. India, 1.9, right? Iran, 1.7. Let's jump over to Brazil, 1.6. Colombia, 1.6. Let's move up to the U.S. and Canada. Canada, 1.3. And the U.S., 1.6, almost a match for Russia's 1.5. Those countries and the ones are no longer able to sustain a population. Hence the invaders being moved in to a degree to take up some of the slack, etc. Now, Africa, no problem, right? Let's see, Nigeria, 5.8. Chad, 5.9. Sudan, 4.2. Democratic Republic of the Congo, 5.9, etc. So there you go. They're breeding like they always have. But the rest of the world, no. Much of this decline in the Western, modern, contemporary, first world nations is because of the COVID bioweapon injection. 5 billion people were injected. Many of those couples are out of the reproduction game. They cannot reproduce. The ovaries, the uterus, testicular issues, all targeted by the COVID bioweapon, among other things. So it was essentially a birth control injection when you're talking about population stability. But beyond that, it's a killer. It's a death vax. We know the dozens of different ways that the spike protein can diminish your health, degrade it, and then kill you way before your time, if not almost instantly after being vaxed. And are they still vaxing people here with this death vax? Yes. I talked to the pharmacist at the nearby CVS. Are you still giving out? Oh, yes, it's our most popular vaccine. We give around 55 to 60 a day. A day. After 6 years of death, 5 years since they rolled the vax out big time, and Trump told us it's a beautiful, beautiful vaccine, get your vaccine, etc. Australia, 1.6. All right, you get the idea. So there you go. Thanks for the time on that, Father Kramer. It's a very enlightening map.
And that's interesting also because long before there was this criminally produced, manufactured pandemic, there was a prophecy made in the 1800s. Saint John Bosco, the Catholic saint, who the priest who had orphanage for boys and such, and he made prediction of the future. He made a prophecy, speaking of the time of crisis we're in now, and in the aftermath, later on, afterward, when things will be restored in the world, Africa will rise to preeminence.
Well, now, in terms of numbers of people, but not intellect. The factual scientific state of affairs, forgive the interruption, is that Africans have a generally aggregate IQ of around 67. Not good, and nothing on the horizon to make that change. That's just the way it is. So, I St. John Bosco, interesting statement. I wonder what millennium he was talking about. In this 1,000 years or the next, I don't know. Maybe the world population will migrate to Africa after a nuclear holocaust. I don't know. Anyway, that's interesting.
Well, in the meantime, while they are waging this war against humanity, they keep us distracted by demonizing one group and getting us all to be cheering on the people who are holding us prisoners.
Sure. Isn't that awful? Isn't that incredible? Cheering on international Zionists who are literally boot-crushing humanity. Wow. Think about it. It's true. Netanyahu is in trouble again. Yeah, they're coming after him. They want to get rid of him. So two of his primary political parties, his in Israel, have gotten together now, and they're going to go after Netanyahu to get rid of him. What does that mean? That's a guarantee that we're going back to war against Iran. It's a guarantee. Probably this weekend, I would guess, if I had to guess, next 2-3 days.
Unfortunately, if you understand prophecy well, you know how badly this situation is going to develop. We know how this. We know where this is going to end, and it's going to be world.
I mean, all the ingredients are right there on the table. I agree.
They still have people focusing their attention on Russia and Ukraine, and we still see the slogans "We stand with Ukraine." What does that mean? With Zelensky? We stand with Zelensky.
It has to mean that. It has to. You can't excise him and stand with the rest of the country, because much of the upper leadership there is just about as corrupt as Zelensky is. Story I have up right now. Oh, who was it? Doggone it. Some woman married to some mucky muck in the Zelensky regime just bought a mega-million-dollar house somewhere. They've stolen so much money, those people. Incredible greed, incredible avarice, incredible theft. It's remarkable. See if I can.
To be cheering on Zelensky, it's like if the American government were overthrown and you got somebody like Idi Amin installed as a dictator.
Yeah.
Would supporting that kind of dictatorship be helpful for America? Of course not. Of course not.
No.
Why do they have this lie that they stand with Ukraine when they're supporting Zelensky regime? That's not doing any favors for the Ukrainian people. That's for sure.
No. Here it is. I found it. Let me just do a little bit of this. Okay. The wife. Oh, this is a picture of her. Okay. The wife of Ukrainian defense minister Fedorov purchased a luxury super yacht. It's not a home, worth approximately 26 million euros. This was reported by TASS, by sources in the Russian security agencies. According to their sources, the yacht in question is a TANKOA S501 Vertige, nearly 50 meters long. It's 150 feet long. It's half a football field. The vessel is registered and sails under the French flag. Sources note that co-ownership of the yacht was likely a necessary measure due to French law, which requires that half of a vessel registered under the French flag be owned by a citizen of an EU country. Okay. Well, so she snagged a 26 million euro super yacht. Just imagine what these people have stolen. Billions and billions of dollars. Billions. En route to killing over 2 million, almost invariably, Christian men and women. I guarantee you there aren't many Jews in the Ukrainian military. Not in the part that fights. Crazy. Zelensky's got homes in the U.S. He's got homes all over the place. I mean, people don't understand. I guess they don't care that he's stealing. They're all stealing. They could all rat each other out. So, yeah. Good luck.
It reminds me of the line I saw in the film. These people who aspire to be dictators and they want to be super rich. And I remember in a film I saw decades ago when the North American bankers were propping up a South American dictator. And the man was getting a little bit, how should I say, thought he was a bit more high and mighty than he really was. And the agent of the financiers said to him, "Remember, you are only president for life."
Good. Somebody should tell that to Trump. Except it's not life in his case. He'd have it that way. This is all grim. He just runs his mouth and says the weirdest things every day. When you see him being extemporaneous with the press, he just says whatever he thinks they want to hear. It's bizarre. I watched him again today. So we really are in trouble. Everybody's in trouble. But this isn't, it's by design. This isn't random. This is not coincidental. It's just nothing spontaneous about it. This has all been planned. World Economic Forum. Don't forget it.
Exactly. And they have people so brainwashed that if you say that,
right,
they say, "Well, you're a conspiracy theorist."
No, I'm a conspiracy researcher. The damn world is run by conspiracy, and if you can't see it, then you're not in the game anymore. You're out. Gone. But that's the way it's always been, hasn't it? There's been an elite percentage at the top, 1%, 2%, that controls the rest under penalty of death. Just doesn't matter. And yes, people get killed here all the time. If you get in the way and you don't move fast enough, they'll kill you and just take you right out. Because the controllers have no conscience, no morality whatsoever. All right, let me rephrase it. Who can run a genocide where 400,000, maybe 500,000, have been butchered without losing a little sleep, maybe? Who shoots little children through the head and then waits for their parents to come to pick up the body and then kills the parents? Who does that? What kind of people do that? Go ahead.
We do worse things than that, too.
Oh, yes. Yep. So we have the Iran War Part 2 pending. Iran has inflicted enormous damage to the U.S. and Israel, far more than the Pentagram will ever admit, or the Israeli government. They won't admit it. Everybody lies. Father Kramer, is it a sin to lie when it's now the normal mechanism of commerce and communication? Lying? Is it no longer a sin? The average person, hey, when you and I were children growing up, if we got caught in a little white lie, we felt bad. I did something wrong. We were taught, and it wasn't any kind of mental trauma that taught us, we were taught not to lie. And then it just slowly changed. Now it's rapidly changed. The lie of omission is probably the most insidious kind, but that's just one. Things are not good out there. I look very hard for things to be made to feel good about, let alone, forget rejoicing. This species is going down by design. And I don't know how else to look at it. So call me negative, I guess, whatever.
The method of life, though, is ancient, but they've really turned it into a grotesque art form in our
it's
time.
It's an art. Yep.
I think it was Aristotle who said that I think that words to this effect, the most deceptive fallacy is by means of the unspoken false premise, the implied false premise. So the argument is founded on something that is suggested, it's implied, it's suggested, but it's not voiced explicitly because it's false. And so that the falsehood will remain hidden, it's only implied, and the whole argument is based on this false assumption.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. We see this all the time.
That's
how they get us to swallow their lies.
Well, it's also the rule of nine. They just repeat the lie over and over, and it becomes a fact for most people. Prince Charles, now King Chuck, was over here for 4 days. And the word I got was that they had to wait for him to go home before they resumed the Iran war. We'll see. I do think there's a fairly good chance it'll happen in the next 2-3 days. King Charles came over here, and David Oates was on last night. And I don't know if you know too much about reverse speech, but King Charles is one of them. He's a bad guy. But his speech reversals... He's dying. near the end of his life were innocuous and actually rather positive. There was nothing negative, no mentions of Satan and so forth. When you play people's forward speech backwards, you get reversals, clear as day. Anyway, he's changed. But the point is, he came over here, and I don't know if you saw the story, but Trump was talking to him right after they shook hands and met for one particular event. And Trump started talking about murder and death and all war and all that. And Prince Charles, Chuck King, said, no, we'll talk about that later. He didn't want to talk about it. It's almost like he's, I don't want to say repenting. I don't know if that's possible. But he's kind of changed his tune here. He's on the last type of cancer therapy there is. So we'll see. Anyway, is it too late for people to repent? At what point is it so egregious, your evil doings, that you can't repent? How does it read? I know what it says in the Bible, basically, but what are your thoughts on that, repenting?
It's theoretically possible for anyone to repent, no matter how evil they have been, but when one is so entrenched, one is so fixed, when one has one's will so fixed in the evil, that is something that cannot be reversed.
I would agree with that, just as a pedestrian. My lay view would be, No, evil, when it so totally penetrates and permeates the being and the essence of a living life form, how the hell do you get that out, really? I don't think it's possible. You become evil.
When the will is so fixed in the evil and so opposed to God, that God withdraws his grace. He's not going to waste it on you if you are so completely given over to evil. And your will is fixated on evil. Mm. Then God withdraws his grace, and that's the sin of final impenitence, which is a blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, says that's the sin that will not be forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Did you happen to see Trump reading from the Bible? I didn't see it. Last week, I guess it was, 5-6 days ago, he read a couple passages from the Bible as if to trick the sheep into thinking he was really an honest Christian soul after all. That was the idea. I don't know if you saw it, but I don't like to watch the fellow, frankly. No. Anyway.
Yeah, anyone could read the Bible and choose the verses that they like, but someone like Trump, I think if he were to open the Bible at random, he might see those words spoken translated as interpreted by the prophet Daniel. You have been weighed in the balance and have been found wanting.
Understatement of the month. Yes, found wanting. The year. Trump is one of the most wanting people. He's just dreadful. Talk about somebody who's consummately involved with hedonism and expects it. And his ego. Now he wants his name on every dollar bill. He'll pick up the Mount Rushmore statue of himself. He wants to be on Mount Rushmore. He's building the ballroom. And by the way, a couple notes about the ballroom, the Trump ballroom, as it will unfortunately be known, is apparently going to sit on top of a deep underground master national security control apparatus. So in other words, it's going to be above an underground facility, a large one. I don't know how they're going to build this unless they cover it all with tarps, like a big circus tent. But they're going to apparently do that. And that's why they keep saying it's national security. We need the ballroom for national security. The latest is that he's turning it more and more, the inside. Yes, the windows will be bulletproof, a lot of glass, but it's turning more and more into a Louis the 14th kind of an edifice. Was he the sun god? I forget. One of them was, 1614. Anyway, Trump fashions himself something of an exceptional human status. And we all look at the man as being, I mean, how many decades can you eat fast food and mentally still function? I mean, he looks rather, Father Time has not been kind to Donald Trump. He doesn't look good. My God, look at his face. And you wonder why? Not long. Look what he eats. You can't do that. What does the Bible say about the temple and feeding the temple and putting filth and poison into the temple? And furthermore, does the Bible say anything about not eating mass-produced beef? I'm a vegetarian myself, a vegan. Does the Bible have a stance on that? It's interesting to me.
Not as such, no. Under the Mosaic Covenant, there were the dietary laws then. There was never any injunction against eating meat. But the thing is that the meat that was eaten in those days was not the tainted stuff that they're giving us now.
Right. Yes, yes. 70% or more of all of the antibiotics produced in the U.S. are fed to livestock to keep them from getting sick. And we end up eating that in the meat. And that's just one of scores of toxins. And I mean toxins because you're not asking for it. It shouldn't be there, but it is there, so it's essentially a toxin. But there are things that are far worse than antibiotics in meat. Another question on the Bible. Is there any remaining pre-Nicene version of the Bible? 325, Council of Nicaea. Wasn't that the first big revision?
There were so many different versions of the Bible that, for example, with the Old Testament, I think we still have intact most of the Greek Septuagint, which is a very old text.
Uh-huh. What do you think of the current, what's the most common version? King James? I don't know.
What is most common today? I don't know, because there are so many different versions now.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah. Anyway, the universal message, I guess, pretty much remains the same, does it not? The changes that have been made and pointed out that I've seen they're rather small. I mean, they do make a difference. It's a matter of verbiage. But generally, the lessons are still there, I think. Am I right?
Yes. My personal preference is the Latin Vulgate edition, because St. Jerome, when he translated, especially the Old Testament books, he had access to manuscripts that for many centuries don't exist anymore. So there were manuscript traditions in his day, mm-hmm, that existed, and he had ancient texts in various ancient languages. And modern scholars would poke fun at him and say, look, he made a big mistake translating this verse, translating that verse. And then they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, and lo and behold, St. Jerome's translation matches the ancient verses in the Dead Sea Scrolls, that he had the most ancient he had the most ancient sources.
That's interesting. Is that Bible available in English or just Latin?
The Douay Rheims Bible is basically a translation. Is a translation of that. It's a translation of the Latin Vulgate. Yes.
Would you suggest to Christians that they get a copy of that and at least cross-reference it? Is it that important? Do spell that name. Douay Rheims, D-O-U-E, what do we got?
D-O-U-A-Y, and Rheims, R-H-E-I-M-S. That's two cities in France. Douay
R-H-E-I-M-S, Rheims, and D-O-U-A-Y.
A-Y.
Douay Rheims, okay.
I think that the King James Bible was, the reason why that was so well done for the most part is because they had the advantage that the Douay Rheims Bible was translated to English shortly before they did the King James Version.
Okay.
And although the King James Version was translated from the Greek and the Hebrew, the Douay Rheims is a translation of the Latin Vulgate. And compared with the ancient texts of the ancient languages, the two are so close. They're amazingly similar.
Well, that's good to hear. I didn't know that.
The King James.
Very good.
I'd say that the King James Bible is a little bit more etymological in their translation of some of the Greek terms, whereas the Douay translation is a bit more literal than say etymological. I don't know if my meaning is could be quite that clear, but there are differences where you've got in the King James Bible, it's almost like you need to understand what's there in the Greek text to really grasp what's being said correctly, have a really correct understanding of it. Whereas with the Douay Bible, it's a little bit, the English is a little bit more clear in the meaning as it would be in modern parlance, even though we're talking about something that was translated in the late 1500s or early 1600s, like the King James Bible, both were translated a few centuries ago.
Very good. Okay. We have just about 6 minutes left. War. What is the Irish press saying about Trump's goal in Iran? Is the Irish press cognizant of the control that the Zionist Jews, internationally speaking, and headquartered certainly in New York and in Tel Aviv, have over Trump? Does the world press understand that? Do you see it in the so-called media, or is it pretty well verboten? You don't talk about that.
The little exposure I have to them now is that they don't talk about that. I've long given up on polluting my mind with the corporate media.
Got it. No, it's terrible. And I don't know how to get through to people to explain to them that virtually everything they've ever been told is slanted and biased toward lies, evil, not truth. Do you remember the first time, I'm assuming you did, but maybe you didn't, some people just read Cliff's Notes versions, you remember the first time you read the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion? You came across it, at any rate? That's a real life changer for a lot of people who are looking for a grasp of reality.
Came across that in the 70s. Back in the 70s is when I first read it.
Well, what were your reactions? How did you react to it?
when I read it, I said, this is true. What I found out later on is that even though they like to say, oh, it's a forgery, it's nonsense, not a forgery. It was cleverly put together. It's based on older documents that are unquestionably authentic documents. So
gotcha. Yeah.
It's not a fabrication. In other words, it's not a fabrication.
Oh, absolutely understood. No, it isn't. That is, that's a good one. You mentioned communism earlier. We talk about communism often. The rank and file American doesn't understand communism. Even if they're a member of the Democrat Communist Party, they still don't quite get it, that they've stepped across the line into the very antithetical behavior of what an American patriot citizen should be embracing. It's not there. Go back to the FDR administration. Go back to the 1800s, and it's there. If there's another book I would recommend, it's to help you understand that all during, not you, but help one understand that all during World War II, this government was sending all of its top secret technology, its government workings, its manipulations, its finances, sending everything to the communists in the Soviet Union throughout World War II. Now, some of you will say that's impossible. You know, no, no. Here's the book to get. It's actually about 120 pages. It's online, and it's the congressional testimony of Major George Racy Jordan. It's called Major Jordan's Diaries. And it's a knockout. If you haven't read that, friends, you really should. It's mandatory reading to give you an idea of how much communist control there was over this government during World War II. Major Jordan's Diaries. And I'm looking to see if it's online. I think it is. Diaries. You haven't read that one yet, Father Kramer, or you have said something by now.
No, I haven't read it. That's very interesting. That's one. It's rare that I hear about something like this that I was not aware of. But I was aware of the reality of these. I was aware of the fact of what he said there is true. I've read that from other sources.
Sure.
And it's incredible the way the United States government has so propped up communism over the decades. The Soviet Union for decades was propping up the Soviet regime, but they would have the American people believe that they're anti-communist.
Correct. Yeah, here it is from Google Gemini. From Major Jordan's Diaries, published first in 1952 as a first-hand account by George Racy, R-A-C-E-Y, Jordan, a U.S. military officer who served as a lend-lease expediter. Remember that? Lend-lease, everybody? Lend-lease expediter to the Soviet Union at Great Falls, Montana, between 1942 and 1944. The book alleges, now this is his testimony, the book alleges that high-level American officials, I might add the highest-level American officials, enabled the transfer of sensitive materials, secret materials, including uranium and U.S. Treasury printing plates of our currency to Russia during the war. You want to read something fascinating? Major Jordan's Diaries. And I do believe it's online to be read. So there you go. Thank you, Father Kramer. Yes, go ahead. Final comment.
To uphold the fiction that the government, U.S. government is anti-communist, I remember about 50 years ago, I knew a girl, an Italian girl, who wanted to go visit the United States, and she was trying to get a visa, And in the visa application, she was red flagged because it said, "Are you a member of the Communist Party?" And she put down yes.
Well, when you read Major Jordan's discoveries, his experiences, boy, were we sold out. And we're still being sold out. You think Trump is acting on behalf of the American people? You think that government is representing the American people and the Constitution? I don't think most of you listening do, so that's good. Father Kramer, thank you. Be well. We'll talk in a couple of weeks.
Bye now.
Good night. Father Paul Kramer in Ireland, and that's our program for tonight. Okay, this weekend, let's see what happens. The network will be on for you nonstop. You still have some time to try to prepare, and I would urge all of you to do so. We've talked about it. You know what you need to do. Take good care, and we will talk soon.